Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. We are coming down to it. Big night in Major League Baseball. Everybody's trying to keep pace. Padres are trying to desperately stay in the race in the NL West, at least for the second wild card. It's not happening.
Sure.
But right now, they have a 4-3 lead over the Giants as the Padres are batting in the middle of fifth inning, this game on FS1. Meanwhile, the Dodgers put across the go-ahead run in the top of the 10th. Albert Pujols helping his way to it. Dodgers lead the Rockies now 5-4 going to the bottom of the 10th. It's been a pretty tense game. It was an infield single for Albert Pujols. I think it's his first infield single since 2011. And now the only thing that remains to be seen is Kenley Jansen going to get that second inning of relief, or are they going to go to the bullpen? And it looks like Gratterall's coming in for the Dodgers. They close this out. They are a half game out of first place, and if the result in San Diego holds, the Dodgers and Giants will be tied for first place at the end of tonight. Oh, my goodness, what a great last 10 games we're going to get in Major League Baseball.
Mm-mm. Dodgers fans cheering for the Padres. This is just a weird world.
It is. It is. And look, Dodgers fans had to sweat out Kenley Jansen in the ninth inning. He threw 20 pitches, 9 of them for strikes. Okay? He threw 9 strikes out of his 20 pitches and somehow got out of the inning without allowing a run. He threw 9 out of 20 pitches and had a strikeout. Oh. Right? He threw 9 out of 20 pitches for strikeouts, and he still found a way to get out of the bottom of the ninth inning. He walked two. You know, he walked
That's
Hilliard.
Right.
He walked Story. It's sweating Jansen sounds like a Netflix documentary special that, like, is a 4-episode thing that wins big at the Emmys. Dude, did you see Sweating Jansen? Oh, my God, dude. Sweating Jansen was awesome. Everybody was sweating. They were all so nervous. It was fantastic. I mean, Sweating Jansen sounds like a great documentary, and Dodger fans are going to sweat Kenley Jansen in the ninth inning of every game throughout the playoffs. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't know how Dodgers fans watch the ninth inning of playoff games. Really, last year,
tough.
I couldn't understand. I didn't have a dog in the fight, right? Because, you know, look, it's the playoffs, but so many of my friends are Dodgers fans. I'm at the games, and I'm like, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you watch the ninth inning of this game. I don't know. When Jansen is in, I don't know how you watch the ninth inning. And it is. It's so much stress. And I was feeling the stress. And look, whoever wins, we have great stories to talk about. Everything is great, friends, to be happy. But regardless, you know, we're going to have great content to talk about it. But I can really – I empathize and sympathize. There is nothing like watching the ninth inning of a Dodgers game in the playoffs, because that imminent sense of dread and foreboding, it's like watching Edwin Diaz with the Mets, except, you know, Dodgers matter a lot more. Sweating Jansen, man, that's going to be the theme of October.
Nah, it seems like that would have been one of the shows they were really hyping during the end of Breaking Bad. Or now Better Call Saul. Here, I'm going to promote the hell out of this.
Low Winter Sun and following
How
Low
dare
Winter
you bring
Sun.
That? I knew you were going to go Low Winter Sun on me. But it's just that. Sweating Jansen.
Sorry.
But see, now you got to create the backstory for why he's sweating.
Sweating
Jansen.
Because
it ain't just about on-field baseball performance. There's got to be something else going on. You know, because then people hear two sentences of it and say, did you hear what Harmon said about Jansen's off-field life? No. I can't even go there.
No, I think, like, Sweating Jansen needs to be something with, like, a quirky Avani Ribisi, who was always, like, in and out of trouble, you know, doing things. And
okay.
It's like, oh, Sweating Jansen. And, like, he's always in trouble, and there's always something happening, and he narrowly escapes. Sometimes he doesn't escape like Jansen, and sometimes he does escape like Jansen. But that's, like, every show. Like, the big thing is he going to escape at the end of this episode? Is he not? That's what Sweating Jansen needs to be.
I like that. No, that's good.
Yeah. Dodgers lead it again, 5-4. Rockies batting in the bottom of the 10th inning. And again, the Padres, who are just falling apart at the seams, have a lead over the Giants right now, 4-3, as they bat in the bottom of the 5th inning. So far, there have been no dugout fights between Tatis and Machado. So there is a – oh, dude, okay, I can't believe I'm going to tell you this. Oh, my God. So I'm Zoe and I are coming back from soccer practice today, right? And there's a guy walking down the street, walking his dog, and he's wearing a Machado jersey, right? He's wearing a Padres Machado jersey, right? So he's wearing the T-shirt with Machado's name on the back, right? I'm like, I got to say something. So I roll down the window, and I go, hey, I got Tatis in here. He's going to kick your ass. And the guy looks at me, and he goes, it's not about him. It's not about him. He gives me the Machado line. He gave me the line Machado sent the dugout. That was the best. He gave me the Machado.
That's fantastic.
Like, how quick is that? Like, I always like people that can be quick and think on their feet, but I got Tatis.
Well, and actually know what's going on. Oh, no, that's great.
It's not about you. It's not about you. Like, just to think that right away and do it. Oh, my God. It's fantastic.
No, that's great.
Oh, that was
fantastic. Well, Angels, so maybe you got someone who's taken a little bit of an improv workshop or something along the way.
Yeah. No, because there's this one house in my neighborhood I drive by that has a 49er flag on it, and I would drive by it various times during the summer when the guy was out front. I would say, hey, thanks for Robert Saleh. And the guy would go, oh, I miss him. Oh, I miss him. I haven't drove by his house the last 2 weeks. I found a way to not drive by.
I thought you were going to knock on the door and just to ask if everybody's healthy there.
Hey, I'm a running back.
Oh, too soon on the 49ers?
I just knocked on the door. Are you selling something? No, I'm a running back. I'm here if you need me. I can give you about 2.4 yards per carry. I can do that for you.
But think about it. Any other team that's struggling at running back between the 49ers and Ravens, I don't think there's anybody left to call.
Dude, who did they work out today? Duke Johnson. Lamar
Yeldon,
right? TJ
Yeldon was right? One of the guys.
I think he played like the beginning of last year with the Bills, right? Larry Zonka worked out for them today. I mean, they
might
John
have.
Riggins.
Does he still have that great mustache?
See, we should have done that. Should have been a game. We should have done a game. Did the 49ers work out this running back? That should have been a game we played. Oh, I blew it.
Yeah, no, it was three guys that you...
I blew that.
You just shrugged your shoulders and like, really?
It's
like, this is where we're at after week two.
I
mean, that's
man.
The really frightening thing because you got Jamichael Hasty now banged up and obviously Raheem Mostert out for the year. So, yeah, you're just calling anybody like, hey, you want to come in and run around a little bit? And
I mean,
maybe there's an opportunity.
Don't you bring Frank Gore back, right? Don't you let him finish where it started?
Well, he's training for boxing, so I don't know what kind of shape he's in to get back on the field.
Oh, I'm sure he's fine. It's Frank Gore. Come on. The guy can be running when he's 67 years old. He's still going to have 1,000 yards. He can do it.
I hope so.
I think the Jets could trade Tevin Coleman back to the 49ers, you know, and get something there. But really, don't you bring Frank Gore back? I mean, really, don't you say, hey, listen, Frank, show up, man. You've been healthy. That's the one thing. Will you promise to stay healthy? I promise. Okay. Come in and run the ball. But only going to run for like 1.5 yards
a carry. One thing on his resume. Look, as long as he falls forward, right, he's just under 6 feet tall. You know, that gives you 2 yards
forward,
anyway.
Can you fall forward and get up? All right, the getting up is the big thing. You can't be injured. You have to get up. If you guarantee me that, we will pay you by the carry. All right, how about that? By the healthy carry. If you carry the ball, doesn't matter if you lose any yards. Doesn't matter. You get up, we pay you. We will pay you $10,000 a carry. How does that sound?
Is this Digstown? What are we doing?
You went Digstown. $10,000 a carry.
Look it up,
I
people.
I think you do that. I think you do that.
1992, Woods, Platt, Bruce Dernan, obviously our man, Louis Gossett Jr.
Yeah, Heather Graham, too.
Honey Palmer.
I like Digstown. Yeah. Oh, Oliver Platt. Yeah, oh, I like Digstown. Was a fun movie, man. I like that one. Twitter.
I mean,
and how about
that? We're supposed to reference James Woods movies, but there it is.
Well, no, it's as long as you don't tweet.
And
it
Heather Graham's in there,
dude. I just said Heather Graham's name.
I know.
Twice.
I got to say it again.
And you just said Heather Graham. Like, dude, I just said her name twice. And Heather Graham's in it. Oh, hey, you know
the third time because you had already gone twice. You missed the bit,
buddy. You know the 49ers should bring back Frank Gore. You know. That should happen.
Well, he looked good in that uniform back in 2005.
$10,000 a carry. As long as you get up and get back settled, that's $10,000. I'll write it down for you.
$10,000.
There you go. Because how many times can you really give him the ball?
He's gotten them.
You give him ten times a game. You can ball 10 times a game, right?
I just like the as long as he gets up.
As long as you get up and don't get hurt, you get
$10,000. And you can walk off the field at
the end
of a
Yes, you get back in the huddle. Here's $10,000. I'll write the check out and hand it to you right there. There you go. That's how you get paid if you're the 49ers.
This is a new twisted reality, but I like it.
Man. Hey, can you change the play to give it to me? Because I really want to get some more money. All right. We'll okay. Wait, I thought we were going to throw it deep. No. Brandon, look, coach hates you. We're just going to give it to Frank, okay? All right,
good. But Jason, isn't this really an extension of what all this boxing and celebrity boxing's become anyway?
Oh, maybe.
Think about some of the guys that are getting back in the ring. It's really not much of a departure there.
Now, you want to know what I would watch if the Niners signed Jake Paul? Now, you want to get in there, you want to mix up, go play running back for the 49ers. That I'll watch. Let me see a yap on
There's
YouTube
Aaron Donald
and against
Paul.
Hey, you got the gut of Aaron Donald. That's what I want to see. You and Aaron Donald, buddy. Let's see it. Come on. Let's go. You want to yap and see awesome. How tough you are. You just run that ball. Yeah, I got $10,000 for you, Jake Paul. You run that ball in the middle. You get up and you get back into the huddle. That's all you got to do. Get up and get back in the huddle. That's all. That's all I need you to do.
Now you just look like the creepy guy standing there with the little $10,000 stacks like you have in a movie.
Right. You know, that's the thing. Like, you know, I never understood that. Why is like every stack of money in a movie, it's $10,000? It doesn't matter how big the stack is, how small
that's
it is.
That's evidently how they
Right?
Yeah.
It's always $10,000. And they always have the edges of it are always curled. Right? There's never like a stack where everything is flat and it's new bills that are crisp and fresh. No. The edge of it is always curled. Here's $10,000. They put it down. That's what I do. Here you go. I have a trash bag with Frank Gore's name on it that I just open it up and I throw the $10,000. They run the play. He gets up. He goes out. He gives me a wave and I throw it in the bag for him. That's $10,000. That's what I do every place. Hey, the guy's holding up the $10,000. That's going to be a run to Frank Gore. It doesn't matter. He's only going to gain a yard and a half. Let him do it anyway. There it is. He gets up. Frank Gore back in the huddle. Here, wait, he's being subbed out. Then I pull the money down just to make sure. Then he says, no, I'm good. I'm going back in the next play. All right, when you go back in, he goes back in. All right, $10,000 goes back in the bag.
Well, I mean, look, we've had NFL teams that have subbed guys in. It's like, yeah, we know that's going to be a run because that guy just came in. Or it's a passing down. I mean, it's no different than that. But Gore's on the field.
$10,000. Man. Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen toe. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Garman. There it is. $10K a carry.
Now that's a reality television show.
Yeah. Because
this carry brought to you by Flexol 454. No, that would just be and certainly for the 49ers. I mean, we're only through week two, and that's the thing. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. As we talk about where we're at in the season and the reality of so many injuries already, and we have so many quarterbacks that are on the list, and we're starting to look at, all right, backup viable backup options. For Thursday Night Football, it's Carolina and Houston, so Davis Mills is going to get the nod with Tyrod Taylor and a hamstring injury. It's too bad, and we talked about it a little bit last night in between the breakdown of the Packers and Lions of a guy who's just bounced around a bunch. And he's got a team that's going to fight. Are they going to be good? No. But they're going to be proficient and professional enough to jump up and sting you on the occasion. So it's one of those. And now Jason had just gone to secure his bag, and he's writing Frank Gore's name on it. Electrical tape has been applied, and now he's pulled out the silver Sharpie, and he just wrote Frank Gore's name in it, and he is now officially the bag man.
Yeah, it's a coach bag. I mean, I got to go more than just it's a coach bag because we're talking about putting 10 grand in. It's got to be something more than that. So I got a coach bag.
Oh, yeah. Style counts.
No. 877-99 on Fox, the Jason Smith. Our Best Of podcast goes up right after the show is over on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get us. The Best Of, Jason Smith, Mike Harmon. Rate us, subscribe. We will love you forever and ever and ever again. Wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio app, it is there for you. Well, coming up next, we got it. It's all set. We didn't even have to bleep it out. That's how... Well, I could say good or bad, Conor McGregor's seventh inning stretch was with the Cubs tonight. We have that plus a huge story out of the NBA next right here. Jason and Mike.
Huge Fox. Boner.
For another hour. Came another hour.
I'm going to eat that ass up.
I'm taking 10 grand away from you, T-shirt.
I'm going to eat that Kangaroo tiny bit of ass up now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
You got to listen to the whole show. Got to listen to the whole show. Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Suck these da-da. Big artists.
Oh, da-da. Dodgers win. They now are a half game out of first place in the NL West. Meanwhile, the Giants and the Padres are tied four apiece as the Giants bat in the top of the sixth inning. Everybody's MVP, or at least he's my MVP, Brandon Crawford, bringing in the tying run with a double to score Chris Bryant. So now it is a 4-4 game. In this, though, only the top of the sixth inning in the game. The game is on FS1. But tonight for baseball and happiness and headlines and all kinds of stuff, well, first we had the Conor McGregor first pitch before the Cubs game tonight. And it was absolutely awful. If you've seen it, I'm sure you will see it in a suit. I know he's trying to loosen up, and he just throws a ball 30 feet to the left of the catcher that hits the brick on the fly behind home plate. And it's easy to see that, okay, you know what? Conor McGregor is that guy. How do I get some kind of heat or attention? I'm going to throw the first pitch and have it be one of the worst first pitches in the history of baseball. Because stars know this now. They know how to do this. They know that if I throw a really bad first pitch, boy, I can gain a lot of attention and get relevancy on it. Right? I mean, from 50 Cent all the way till now, why throw a regular first pitch when if you are someone dying for all kinds of publicity, hey, you throw a really bad one, it'll trend on Twitter. People will talk about it for a long time. We still talk about 50 Cent's pitch. We haven't talked about any songs 50 Cent has put out in the last 10 years, but we still talk about his first pitch with them. That's what throwing out a really bad first pitch buys you, that kind of publicity. But if you thought that...
Yeah, I think when you look at him, Jason, you know, for 50 Cent, it's more about his acting and producing at this point than any and music. And that's not... And maybe I'm just not... well, not hip or whatever the kids would say about it.
Okay, if we talk more about the bad first pitch than we do about his acting and producing career.
No, that's absolutely
okay,
true.
So there we go.
Yeah,
okay.
I know he was in the news there about some production stuff maybe two, 3 weeks ago. But for Conor McGregor, the one thing that I am shocked about is, you know, he does have his whiskey, right, that he's got a part ownership in, and it's worth all this money. I'm surprised he doesn't have a suit that has the logo all over it like he's the damn Riddler.
Oh, yeah, that would be a pretty big thing, right? Yeah, that would be.
When he's showing up in Jerry Jones's box on Sunday.
That's a missed opportunity. I completely agree with you there. Hey, and I
made a little bowler hat, too, with the logo on it.
I told you my Jerry Rice story, right? The time on the red carpet at the ESPYs. Well, Jerry Rice is on the red carpet at the ESPYs, and he's wearing a purple suit. And so, you know, one of my gigs at ESPN when I was there was, I did the red carpet ESPYs, and it was great. I got all kinds of interviews. It was great. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's there, and I'm like, all right, I got to talk to him. So I interview him. I go, Jerry, you're here. He goes, man, this is a crushed velvet royal crown suit I'm wearing.
Oh, a Crown Royal bag kind of thing going on?
Crown Royal. Yes, he was doing something with Crown Royal, and the suit was crushed velvet, you know, Crown Royal.
Like the bags.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. It was awesome. I'm like, okay.
I'm jealous now because you know me in purple, and if you can get some crushed velvet in there.
Yeah, that's selling.
I'm like Costanza. I'd ensconce myself in velvet.
Right. Oh, sure. Sure. Hey, you know, hey, as you say, right? How do I make money on this? How do I monetize this?
That's right.
Right. That's how it works.
Good for him. I mean, which is better though, that suit or the chicken wing helmet?
Ooh, well, the suit is not as embarrassing as the chicken wing helmet. The suit was actually like, all right, okay, I can see it. But the chicken wing helmet is, oh, dude, come on, man. You're the greatest wide receiver of all time. Come on. You can't be wearing a chicken wing helmet.
Check cleared, baby.
Your nickname is World. You made money playing the game, man. You didn't play in the 50s. You know, you made money here. You're a big deal. Oh, Jerry, what's happened? So, while that was going on tonight, Conor McGregor apparently realized, you know, I want to make sure people are talking about me after this game. So Conor McGregor was singing the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field. And here was McGregor. And to say he lost the tune at one point would be being kind. Take a listen.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
So far, okay.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Certainly not the worst.
Oh, he got the city right. Well, that's good. No,
but overall, like, I mean, even if you didn't like his cadence, it's not like he really butchered it or went through it in 8 seconds like Ditka or Ozzy Osbourne did back in the day.
No, dude, he kind of really lost the tune there in the middle, and then, you know, apparently didn't know it was root, root, root. It was just root, root. Cubbies. It could have been a little bit, I think it could have been a little bit cleaner. Give him a little bit.
Well, I mean, we can nitpick on that one, but I think overall.
Dude, he completely lost it, man. I mean, he sounded like my mom when she would try to sing along to songs on the radio. She never knew. She would try to sing. Way up there in the storm, keeping you warm. I got the right temperature to keep you warm. Oh. I mean, that's how my mom would sing. And I was having flashbacks to that.
That's different.
Oh, my mom couldn't sing at all. She was the worst. Everything was just monotone, and it was the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, but you know what? She at least tried.
But sometimes I would go, Mom, we don't need to sing. Let's just listen to the song. Let's just hear it. But that's how she would sing. And then she would sing songs. Everything is the same way. In the middle of the night.
Maybe she had that song in her heart.
I go walking in my sleep, through the mountains of faith, through the river so deep. And that's what my mom would sing.
Have you heard Billy Joel lately? It ain't much, ain't far off.
And she had a deep voice, kind of like I did. And I'm like, oh, Mom, you just gotta stop. Everything is the same. America, a long, long time ago, I remember when the music used to make me smile. I mean, that's how she would sing. Everything was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's kind of what I got with Conor McGregor.
All right. Well, I mean, I like that he gave it the old college try. I think he's got a relative that was posting on social media that works over at Marquee with the Cubs. So, you know, talking about having cousin in and having some fun and... Again, not the worst rendition, but yeah, it'll be memorable just for for losing his mark and losing the tune. And you could tell the organist was none too pleased. Like, all right, what do I do now? I just kind of have to lay out.
Where's the dump button in case he curses? Where's the dump? I don't want him to say.
That's what I was waiting for.
I don't want him to say anything he's not allowed to say on TV.
Let's get some blanking runs here.
I can't believe you guys all like this blanking sport baseball. What a stupid game.
Well, they could have done one of those rants as soon as you got the open mic. You never know.
Oh, boy. Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So, yeah, there you go. Congratulations. Conor McGregor has done everything he possibly could, short of winning fights and being a good fighter, to stay relevant. Meanwhile, a big story out of the NBA is that we most likely have seen the last of Ben Simmons as a Philadelphia 76er. Today, the report came out, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reporting that Ben Simmons, according to sources, is never going to suit up for the team again, and you're not going to see him on an NBA court until he is traded to a new team. Training camps are starting around the league in about a week or so, so you're never going to see him again. He's done. He is not going to come back unless he is traded. He has thrown down the gauntlet and said, I am gone. Now, there's a lot of angles to this, right? There's the team that should trade for him. There's how we got here. And let's deal with how we got here, because to understand who's really at fault for where we are, I don't want you to miss who's really responsible, right? Because you can blame Ben Simmons and say, hey, the guy needs to be better. Sure, he does. He should be able to shoot better, should be able to hit a three, should be able to do these things. But there are other things he does extremely well that is a reason why he is a multiple-time All-Star in the NBA. He is a terrific passer and rebounder and one-on-one defender. He does a lot of great things. So it's not like the guy, oh, boy. No, he actually does really good things. But clearly, the 76ers needed something else. You can blame the 76ers. They didn't put enough help. They didn't try to maneuver his skill set into what it could be. They didn't give him enough help to mature his game at all. You could all of these things you can say. You can blame both sides. But really, why we are here is because of Doc Rivers. Because after the 76ers got eliminated in a playoff series in which Ben Simmons was awful, right? Ben Simmons wouldn't take a shot in the fourth quarter, and really, you have to be a guy that at least shoots the ball a little bit if you're going to be the point guard. And yes, he got a lot of heat, and rightfully so. But Doc Rivers is the reason why we're here when we're here. Because Doc Rivers doesn't want to take responsibility for anything, right? Never. It's not his fault with the Clippers. Wasn't his fault why the Celtics didn't win more. And this season's not his fault, right? Nothing is ever his fault. You remember when he was asked this question right after the Sixers got knocked out. This was the answer that put us where we are right now.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
That was the moment. That was the moment where Ben Simmons knew, I got to get out. And now it's just going to be, how do we get there? Because the end game is going to be, I'm not playing for the 76ers again. And I can't say I blame him. Because when your head coach, who at this point, I get that emotions are raw, but again, anything. The right answer in that situation is, hey, you know, Ben's a terrific player. He's a warrior. I'm sure there's things he would like to do better. There's things we all would like to do better. And then what you do is behind closed doors, that's when you say, dude, if you want to be a point guard for this bleeping team, you got to do X, Y, and Z next year, man. We are not having it. Or that's when you look into potentially trading him. But when you throw him out there, when the media has just been killing him for the past few days, look, like I said, he hasn't been playing well. But the role of the coach is not to be the guy to say, yes, I agree with the media or I disagree with the media. You're a coach. You need to protect your players. Right, you always need to protect your players. And if it was something that is so overwhelmingly obvious, then you can send them a message through the media. But all he did by saying that was make Ben Simmons draw a line in the sand. And even if you know you want to get rid of him, you have hurt your negotiating position. Because eventually he's going to say he wants out. And when a player wants out, well, teams are going to wait you out. And you're not going to get the offer you should because they know, well, we're not going to go crazy for an offer and give them three first-round picks and this player and this player and this player because we know they got to trade him. So we are coming at it from a position of strength. Doc Rivers ruined everything with that. He ruined the relationship with Ben Simmons. He ruined it down. And the reports that he's not coming in, if he doesn't come to camp, you got to move on from him. Right? And I get it. This is Doc Rivers who put it right here where we are. And all he did was make the situation worse. When honestly, as a coach, you have to say, all right, I'll protect my guy publicly and then behind whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. But he felt the reason to have to say, I don't know the answer. Yeah, because I don't want to get any blame for losing this series.
Yeah, I think one of the question, the follow-up is, like, if you're Doc, make sure I hear the question right. Or if you're the interviewer, hope that he rephrases it, goes, hey, did I hear you right? Are you saying that? Or is it this combination of players and this team? Because immediately it went on Ben Simmons, and that was it, right? That's the end of it. And you got a contract that is currently signed through 2024-25. That's bad. Four more years of this deal and an awful lot of money to be paid out, which means any trade has to be of great substance, and you've submarined yourself. And I don't know. I know Doc Rivers has his title, and everybody likes him, right? I mean, there's not a person that doesn't like Doc, except players who went and kind of mocked and ridiculed after he'd been let go here in Los Angeles. But you've got a situation that now you could have done it behind the scenes, right? Said whatever you needed to put all the platitudes out there for the reporters, and then behind the scenes saying, all right, Ben, here's the offseason program we need you to work with because we got to get the free throw shooting back on. We can't be, you know, in a situation in the fourth quarter where you're not at least an option. But behind the scenes, also, it becomes the, all right, how do we address this with our personnel so we have another shooter knowing he won't try? And that's the only thing I've said about Simmons and all this. People go to the hot takes of he's got to be able to do this and do that. It's like, no, he's just got to be able to be a threat that he might take a jump shot. He doesn't even have to shoot very well. It's just the idea that you can't, you know, his whole game is drive and either up or he's going to dish. So, but you've taken the ability to really get a number of suitors for him, and he does so many things well, because that's also lost in the analysis of Ben Simmons here, between the free throw shooting, most especially, is the one that stands out for folks. But when we look at the offseason and now, all right, here he is, he's on a boat and all that kind of stuff, it's like, I don't care. You've given a very difficult proposition to match that salary when we're talking in the mid-30s. Draft picks aren't going to do it, right? They don't have that value. And who's going to – what are you going to trade for? All right, we got five guys at the end of our roster for him. It doesn't work. All right, because now you've basically told Joel Embiid, well, in order to get rid of him, we now have to tank our squad. Good luck with that. And so now he's going to get mad at you. So you're really in a can't-win situation, and a lot of it comes off of Doc Rivers and just being dumb at the podium. And I got to call it what it is. This was just a, no matter how much in your heart of hearts you felt that in the moment, that I can't win with this guy, and maybe that's exactly how you laid your head on the pillow that night and every night thereafter, you can't say it publicly. That's a behind the scenes, let's go to work.
Mm. I'll tell you, maybe we're here anyway, but the thing is everything Doc did, nothing helped the 76ers. It didn't help Ben Simmons staying on the team. It didn't help them trying to trade him. And now here's where they are, and it's very contentious. And is the next guy who comes in that has a bad season going to go, ooh, do I really want to go play for the Sixers where Doc Rivers is going to throw me under the bus if we don't win? Yeah, I don't know. I can go somewhere else. I'll go to the Knicks where Tom Thibodeau at least just take me out of the rotation and won't say anything about
you.
Me. So that's good. I'll go there. Because if I stink there, he's just not going to talk about me. Doc's going to blame me for everything. Yeah.
That's well, or he's going to make me run until my tongue's dragging on the floor.
That is a huge, epic fail by Doc Rivers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
San Francisco, San Diego tied 5 apiece, only in the bottom of the 6th inning. This game is going on forever. So we'll keep you updated on this. You know, there's things that I'm glad I get in front of, things I'm glad I say, and things I'm glad I take back when I get the chance to. And the thing I am probably most glad that I said, Mike, right before week one of the NFL season was I knew I had to do it. It was a moment of clarity where I said, yeah, no. I mean, I think I wanted this to happen more than it's actually going to happen, because I just can't trust that the main cog in this engine is going to stay healthy. I am so glad I took back my Colts are going to the AFC championship game prediction I made in the offseason after they got Carson Wentz. I mean, the fact is he couldn't stay healthy in the preseason. No, still Colts. Look how good they are. And he was going to start playing, and he wasn't going to be 100% healthy. Now he's got 2 sprained ankles, and who knows if he's going to play, how effective he's going to be, and the Colts are 0-2. I am so glad I took that back, because I was really just denying the reality of Carson Wentz hasn't played. He hasn't stayed healthy. Is he really just going to start the season to stay healthy? No, he's not. And that's exactly what's happened. And the Colts are 0-2, and it's where do we go from here?
Well, and obviously there's a lot of question marks of, all right, how do you sprain both ankles? That's one that's sports science is going to be looking into. But you go to Jacob Eason, and, well, what do you do offensively? Jonathan Taylor's not able to be what you're expecting him, and Nyheim Hines, and what that running back committee, include Marlon Mack if you need to, behind the O-line, as they start getting healthy, that you thought you'd at least have someone who could give you balance in Wentz, and maybe you can get some shades of that MVP start like he had a few years back. Obviously, it ended with an injury and Nick Foles riding to the rescue. But now you're in the – I don't know what Eason will be and what the game plan will be, because if you try to force feed Taylor and you've got no threat of a downfield game, then, well, that's going to get bogged down. Now you're playing Tennessee, coming off a big win after their really curious – mutant effort against the Cardinals in week one, that now they get a win at Seattle, first home loss for those guys in an opener in forever. And now I don't know what this offense is. A lot of Jack Doyle. Is he suddenly relevant to where you go to the
it's
short
been
passing
7 years.
Game?
It's 7 years, and now Jack Doyle has come back in.
But in
like
all
retro coming back.
Right, but what do you got? Michael Pittman Jr., and you've had Zach Pascal, who's been a good red zone guy. Well, are you going to have red zone opportunities to take advantage of him at this point? You know, T.Y. Hilton is on the IR, and you really don't have any other discernible targets. And so the defense that's been chopped up at times, you know, and Darius Leonard's been banged up a bit. And, you know, so what do you have? And the Colts that people liked, and it was a popular pick until it wasn't. And so you at least had enough wherewithal and self-realization to say, you know what? I'm going to jump off this train before this even leaves the station. I'm going to go back to platform 9 3/4 and try to force my way into something else.
I'm going to get into Fort Anglia. I'm going to get to school that way, okay? I'm not going to go by the train anymore. No, it's like I felt like I got to the point where I was like, no, I'm just being stubborn. Because the Colts are talented. They have a lot of talent. But not having a quarterback play and get reps and not being able to stay healthy, I couldn't ignore that anymore. And this is, and they were, like I said, when, where do you go from here if you're the Colts? Because you went all in to go get Carson Wentz. And now he's got two sprained ankles. It's like, it's a foot injury, it's two sprained ankles, and it's, I don't even know what to do after this. I don't know what to do. If you're the Colts, man, whew, that division is such a mess, man. That division is an absolute mess. We thought, okay, the Jaguars, no, the Jaguars absolutely stink. Okay.
No, but, you thought the Jaguars.
No. But the Colts are going to be, no, they're 0-2. And what about the Titans? No, the Titans are 1-1. What about the Texans are 1-1. They're tied for first place. The worst team in the NFL. I mean, that division is an absolute mess. 100%.
Right, but if the Titans stay healthy now, right, and Derrick Henry and Tannehill stay healthy, all of a sudden they're the leaders. But I told you Wentz was a problem, after he quit last year.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. What would be the best Ben Simmons trade? We'll tell you next, Fox.